You want to get a hooker and strangle her?
Tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, bleeds out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit.
What is entertaining?
Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What? Not tomorrow, not after breakfast. Now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Hathuri, what are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fuck off.
Shut up.
Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue.
Issue?
Yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue. I'm not a problem. It's just an issue.
I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day. I come home. I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
The vision is real. The power is reawakening. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
Going on, people? How are you? It's the Conti and Kenny Show, May 19th, 2014. I am Joe Conti. I am the Captain Kirk of this operation, and you are my...
I'm just Ralph.
Ralph?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Star Trek, but I know that there wasn't a Ralph.
Oh, I'm,
Aren't you my, wouldn't you be Spock? Wasn't he second commander? I'm a doctor, damn it!
No, I want to be... Jim? I want to be the Black Broad.
Oh, Uhura.
Uhura.
Oh,
yeah.
Uhura.
Uhura.
Uhura. Very nice.
Uhura.
Uhura. All right. Welcome to the show, everybody.
I've always wanted to be a black woman. Just for about an hour.
Just for an hour?
Just about an hour.
Until they accuse you of not waiting for the bus?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I got to go.
Just for about an hour, I can yell at white people for no reason, with no recourse.
With no recourse at all,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just get all crazy and shit.
I can beat children.
Nice.
My children.
Oh, okay, your own. Yeah, I think a lot of white women beat their children too, so.
A lot of wigs. Wear a wig.
Oh, okay.
Wear a wig.
You scared me for a second the way you said that. I'm like, what did he just say? Jesus. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. It's the Conti Kenny Show, of course. The phone number is 240-HIGH-CNK. That's 240-442-2635. We broadcast every Monday night on morelikeradio.com, and also we are on contiandkenny.com. Go into the chat room.
Phone number is also 1-800.
Go into the chat and follow us. Be our friend on Facebook. Like our Facebook page, whatever it is. And also follow us on Twitter, at CNK Show.
Big A and Lady Trucker are already in there. Hello, guys.
Oh, Big A, Lady Trucker. Very good. That's our... dude.
Nice to see us.
Oh, what, dude, oh, I was so pissed, man.
I have to, real quick, before we get into it, I have to apologize in advance.
Uh-oh, what'd you do?
No, my allergies are out of control.
Everybody's saying that this year.
I was in the house all day pretty much yesterday. Not, you know what I mean. I wasn't like outside and stuff, and I got out today, and I drove with the windows open all the way here, 25 minutes here, and it was just a bombardment. So if I'm sniffling and my voice gets a little raspy, I've already apologized in advance, but who gives a shit?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, you can hear that on the radio where you're like, it's disgusting.
Okay.
But I just wanted to get
you're not the only one. It seems that every year that more and more people complain about their allergies. I don't remember in the 80s or early 90s people having a problem with allergies. I don't remember. It doesn't it just doesn't seem that
it's like new wave music. Like,
no, I just don't remember.
It happened in the 80s?
Yeah, I don't remember people saying, you know, their allergies or pollen. You know, what's the pollen count?
It was probably misdiagnosed. I would think it would be misdiagnosed. Technology now can narrow it down.
Maybe somebody just had a sneezing disorder.
Somebody just had a cold, or they had a, you know, there's always been hay fever. But where the fuck do you have hay fever?
Hay fever?
Yeah,
really? Didn't Helen Keller have that?
Yeah, I live by Newark. Where are you going to get hay fever
hay
from?
Hay fever.
I'm in Jersey.
Sounds gay anyway. Yeah. Hay fever.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, okay. But yeah, hay fever is more like a farm thing, right?
Hay fever is a gay guy that hasn't come out of the closet yet.
Ah, okay.
Hey! He's dying to.
Yeah, literally.
He's got the fever for the ding-dong.
The flavor of a ding-dong. he's got the fever for a flavor of a penis.
I never used to have him until I hit my 30s.
Yeah, like
I was.
I never
rocks iron.
I never got them either.
Could
and
eat anything,
but I only you know what
run through any bush. The only thing, poison ivy. I've always been allergic to poison ivy.
The only thing I get with that, and I don't take anything for it, is I'll sneeze a little bit. But I like the feel of a sneeze. I call it a snazasm. It's got a
nice.
Well,
they say it's the closest thing to an orgasm.
Really?
It's a build up and then the release.
Oh,
it's a, well, it's I like kind it. Of a I like simulation.
The oh, chew. And then, my eye duct will just release tears.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
And on my right eye, all the time, right under my right eye, there'll be this white stuff, and it's I guess from the tears coming down, the salt.
It's leftover cum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you missed a spot.
Really, yeah. Yeah, I did. I should have put somebody else in your spot.
No, but I never, like, bee stings or anything like that. If I was in my girl, I would have been like, get these bees off me.
Mm.
You know? I wouldn't have died. But not allergic to anything else.
No, nothing. But I just, my ears will tear up a lot, and then I'll sneeze
your
occasionally.
Your ears will tear?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
My eyes will tear up a lot. Wow. Let's get on the ball here.
Yeah.
Gotta get going here. Yeah, that's it, though. I've never taken a Claritin or a Benadryl or any of those things. I just don't want to take something. Like, you know what? If I'm inconvenienced by my eye tearing in the spring and the summer and I sneeze 8 or 9 times during the day, whoop-de-doo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't take anything because either I've said it before, I get bloody noses or my tongue dries up like a Triscuit. The only thing I can take is Benadryl, but it knocks you out. You're sleeping.
Okay.
You know, the best is when you have to. You're sitting at the dining room table, and I have a big window behind me, and I'll open that up, and I'll eat dinner, and I'll get the pollen, and probably I would say 2 or 3 times this season, I've fucking sneezed out every piece of food that I had chewing in my mouth all over the dining room table.
Oh, man, that's the worst.
Because it's beautiful out. It's dinner time.
Yeah.
Got the breeze blowing behind me, and I get a mouthful of food, and it's hacked all over the place.
My girlfriend's got the worst sneeze possible. Her sneeze, she's got one of those sneezes where it has two different release points.
Makes a pussy fart.
I'd rather have that. Because you know how, like, it's usually, it's in, and then, achoo, you know?
Yeah.
Hers is, she'll be like, yeah! And it's this weird thing where it's like, achoo! And then this thing comes out. It's so loud. It scares the piss out of me. Like, dude, just picture it's 4 a.m, and then you hear, and you're like, what the fuck was that? That was her sneezing.
Yeah.
She sneezes like a trucker, you know? No offense, lady trucker. She, but she takes stuff for it because it gets bad. But I just don't take anything, man. I don't want to.
No,
I don't
want to
get.
I'm a quiet sneezer. Unless I'm home. Unless I'm completely free. If I'm home, I just let him go because it
like
feels
the
good.
Way my. I never really, dude.
But
I,
for I'm trained.
I made up a sniglet
because of the business that I was in.
Right.
I had to cover, so it was I could sneeze and be completely quiet.
Oh, okay.
You just see me. You'll see me jerk.
Oh, okay.
I'm
you
just
do
like,
a tea.
Yeah. Yeah, but when I'm home, I'm like, here it comes.
Oh yeah. You get your proboscis out.
Watch out, Norton.
Your proboscis is like moving its feet like you're going towards a bull.
Oh yeah.
It's like your nose is ready to go.
Yeah. Well, look at this thing.
Oh.
It's sucking up tons of pollen with this fucker. It's like the I have the Dysons of yeah, Dyson. Of
you make it like you got some big nose, like you're Abe Vigoda, and your nose is just, you know.
It's the not, Italian side.
It's not
of the family.
Big. It's not the big like the hook big. Like
no, no,
the,
no.
The Italian or Jewish, you know that the hook thing, you know. It's just it's a little thick at the end. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah. But it's gonna get worse.
But it's
worse.
Not one of those where that Kenny Michaels is like, yeah, you met that guy Kenny Michaels. You know that guy, the guy, the blonde hair and the big nose. That's not
no,
what
no,
people.
No, no.
It's not that pronounced.
It's proportion, but it's gonna get worse. And
is
worse.
It gonna get worse?
Oh,
and a lot redder.
No, my
WC Michaels over here.
Yeah.
You're gonna be juggling bottles of fucking Jack Daniels.
It's eventually gonna split in the middle. And it's gonna be a dick nose.
Nice.
Yeah, it's in the family.
Split.
Yep, it's in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cock for a face. It's great.
I actually thought I was gonna be real late today because I had to go bring our kitten. She's 2 years old, but
oh,
she's
to get
still
her
tiny.
Vagina mutilated.
Yeah, she's going to get her clitoris taken off. So I had to take her.
It's a Sudanese kitten.
Yeah, but I had to take her to the neuter scooter, where so you make an appointment, and then they pick it up at a certain like different pet stores. Then they bring it down to this one place in Hillside where they just do hundreds of spaying and neuters like all day. You know,
that's craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's crazy.
The neuter scooter.
The neuter scooter, right? So I have to I had to bring her there at 7 o'clock this morning.
What's the matter with a regular vet? Or are they
it's
like
just cheaper.
It's cheaper. It's a chop shop.
Yeah. It's basic it's state run.
Is
it's
it
state run,
really?
Yeah. So it's done nice and cheap. And they do a good job. You know, I've read reports
they,
on it.
They don't neuter the cat. They just sexually assault it and give it back to you. So
I wonder
so,
why she was very, very calm.
No, they come back all, like, skittish.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Andy Dufresne after coming back from the hole.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, yeah, after he got raped.
After the sisters got to him, yeah.
It's just sexually.
Now I got to go find a guy and put him in a wheelchair, you know?
Yeah. They just sexually assault the animals and give them back to you all broken, you know?
So I have
They used to be a problem cat. Now they just mosey around the house.
Yeah.
They're depressed.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is a good kitty.
Yeah, yeah. She's.
Meanwhile, she's tortured in her heart.
Yeah, so it's like she went to a scared straight. But she, when we went and met at this Petco, they were like, all right, listen, meet at the Petco in Clifton at 5 o'clock. That's why I thought it was going to be late, because I had to go pick her up there.
Were there other kitties there or just you?
It was cats and dogs, but it was in a big van.
No, I mean, for you, did you call it? That sounds like a drug deal. Meet me at the Petco in Clifton.
Oh, no, no.
There was a couple other people there.
There was like 15 other people.
Oh, so it was a meeting spot. Okay.
Yeah, so it was a meeting spot. So the van.
So it was like a lunch truck. I'll be.
It really was. It really looked like we were all waiting for tacos and empanadas, you know? Two empanadas and a Diet Coke. Come on, where do you go? I got to go back to the inside. I got the forklift running. It's so, but the weirdest thing was when
tacos and empanadas. It's perfect food. It's perfect food truck food. That's all they said.
That's all it is. Yeah, yeah. And a meatball parm, or
yeah,
and then the big crush sandwich or something, you know. But what happened was, when you pull up, now it's under my name. I registered, so it's Conti. It's Joe Conti. So when they called me, they said, hey.
Now you're a registered pet offender. Yeah.
So now there's like 15 people there. There's dogs and cats in the van. And the woman starts handing out, everybody's got their little pamphlets with their information on it. Your information, your pet, and then whatever you have to do with it. So she's like, first she just starts calling out each name. But she's not calling out my name. She's calling out the pets' names.
The cats, the pets'
the names? The pets, the dogs. Uh-huh. So it's like, hey, Bruno and Bailey, the one people next to me, their dogs were like, you know, Bruno and Bailey. And then it was like, yeah, then we got Fuzz. And then we got, Tiger.
Scooter,
Gracie. And then they called me. And then I just heard, Princess? And I just put my hand up. I'm like, right here. And so I have to walk by like 8 people and go, yeah, I'm Princess. So I have to grab
some
my papers.
Some gang
again.
Member with 2 pit bulls.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, meow.
Yeah, then you got this fucking lowland gorilla with a jet jersey grabbing a fucking. And then when they, then they go, all right, everybody with cats, we're going to get the cats out first. And which one was me? She first one, she goes, who's got Princess? I'm like, that's me again, you fuck.
This is afterwards when you have to pick him up?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dude, in front of like 15 other people, dude. So I had to grab the little one, and it was just, but she was all knocked out because she was a nerve. Dude, she's a nervous, dude, she's a pain in the ass.
You would be too if you're going to be sexually assaulted.
Well, I think she knew because we got her this morning. And, you know, it's like, it's not easy to get her. She doesn't just come running up to us, but Beverly got her, right? And usually, once you hold her, you can hold her for a few minutes and pet her, and she's cool. But she started moving her towards the case
box,
thing.
Yeah, forget it.
Dude, she didn't even scratch her. She put her fucking face into Beverly's neck and was biting her. She was biting her neck like a fucking bat. And she's like, hey, she's Beverly's screaming. She's like, oh, oh, oh. I'm like, what the? I come running in and this thing is just in her neck. I thought it clawed her.
Yeah.
But it was, it. But she saw that thing and she didn't want to go in there. We finally got her. And, but she calmed down once she got in there. But holy Christ.
Well, I wonder how the hell what happened when she was there.
Oh, I don't know.
Did first get him out?
I don't. She met up with Wesley Snipes and they went out hunting for daywalkers.
They would have knocked her out once they got a needle in her.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. And I just told her, look,
or,
she's very skittish.
Or somebody just punched her, fucking cat.
I said, look, she's, let them know that she's skittish. She's very afraid because she's tiny, you know?
Yeah.
She doesn't have Napoleon syndrome. She's a scared, no?
She's a little pussy.
She's a scared of everything. So
you know what they probably did is just fucking blow darted her through the cage. You know, with a tranquilizer. Yeah.
So it was very embarrassing to just sit there and be like, yes, Princess. I'm like, that's me. And I had to walk past.
That's like, that's really
there was
funny.
Like hot chicks and fucking old ladies and guys just like, really? Princess.
You just like, my girlfriend's an asshole, dude.
Fucking
my girlfriend's an asshole.
Grape Ape over here fucking has a kitty thing. fucking, Princess.
Yeah.
So that was my day.
I was watching that. When the hell was it?
Oh, we got Gaffney coming in. He should be in a few minutes.
Yeah. Mike Gaffney's coming in.
Our pal from our superstar pal.
All over the TV.
Yeah.
All over the
TV. Last Comic Standing.
I was watching that. Speaking of neutering.
Yeah.
Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe.
Yeah.
Right? There was an episode.
Show still on?
Not new episodes.
Like,
they
repeats
replay
and
yeah,
stuff?
On okay. Discovery and Animal Planet now. They play it all the time. But I was watching one.
Animal Planet? Really?
Yeah.
Why, just episodes where he works with animals?
Animals, yeah.
Okay.
If there's an animal in it, then they play the episode. They'll do other stuff.
Okay.
But this one, he had the baby goats, and he castrated the baby goats with his teeth. It's the most uncomfortable thing to watch.
Really?
Yes. And the guy shows him how to do it. Oh, man, just...
Why do you... With the technology we have today, you have to use your teeth?
Yes. When my sister had goats when we were young, there was this machine, and you'd squeeze it like a pair of pliers, and it would have 2 rubber bands on it. And it would open up, and you'd put the balls through, and then let the handle go, and it would rubber band the top of your sack.
Okay.
And what that would do, that would cut off all the blood. Eventually, your sack, the goat's sack would die, and it would just fall off like an umbilical cord.
Really?
Yes. Brutal. But they said it was at least less painful. But how's a goat going to get two tight-ass rubber bands off his nuts? He's got hooves.
Why don't you just have him, like,
try to... He doesn't have any thumbs.
Why don't you just try to have him deadlift, like, 400 pounds, and it'll just fall right
yeah,
off?
Yeah, sure, sure. Same shit. Yeah. Or just inject his intestines into the sack. But that's... It was a plier. It was like a thing. And you squeezed it, and it went opposite. It opened up, put the balls through, rubber bands, and then it would fall off eventually. But this one... This episode, he actually turned the goats on his... I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. Put the goats on their back and then bite the balls off.
Really?
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Wait a minute. Are you going at it? You should hit the little button up there, right?
What's that?
So you don't... You just make another page.
No, it doesn't work.
That little... Right next to the X? Right? No. To the left, all the way to the left. Keep going. Little to the right. Keep going. Next one or a little thick right there. There you go. New tab, you fucking moron. You are fucking... You are a computer. You're a fucking caveman. He doesn't even know how to fucking make a new tab. And that's something I know how to do.
I know how to make a new tab, but I don't know
Has to do with a fucking bottle of fucking Captain and Morgan.
I don't know how to get back to it.
Oh, okay.
I can make a new one. I don't know how to go back to the other one.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
I can make them all day.
You're the Norm from Cheers of fucking computers. All right, what are you putting up here now? Oh, is this, this is the ball sack thingy?
Yeah. There it is. Micro castrating lambs. Here it is. Oh.
Should I put the volume on?
Oh, I don't have it plugged in.
You don't have it plugged in?
I will in a second. That's an advertisement. We'll let that play for a second.
And these fucking ads are really creepy with the no wires. And the guy's wife is like some weird...
It is kind of
they're
a weird...
very creepy.
Muppet weird thing.
Yeah, creepy.
It definitely is. Okay, I'm good. But yeah. I've got to wait for the... Hold on, we've got to wait for the commercial. It really is weird. I didn't see that. I haven't seen this one.
I haven't seen this one either.
I've seen the one with the lemonade and then the little kid.
And the little kid, yeah.
It is oddly weird.
Very, very strange. Very creepy. All right.
A generalist is somebody who knows a little bit about a lot of things. An expert, that's somebody who knows a whole lot about one thing.
At Dirty Jobs, we consult with a lot of experts. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong.
Sure, these don't go on the
outside. And sometimes what looks wrong is actually right. For instance, remember when we visited Albert, the rancher out in Colorado?
And they got a bunch of little goats here.
Those are the testicles.
Those are the testicles. Right. You get in here and you squeeze them out.
Oh my God! What the hell are you doing, man? What in the name of all that's holy have you done? You pulled the testicles out with your teeth!
He pulled the testicles out with his teeth.
Same thing happens. Uproar. Outrage. Hundreds of emails directed at me saying, Mike, surely there must be a more humane way to do the work. Well, here's what you don't know. The day before we arrived at the sheep ranch, I made some phone calls. I called the experts. I checked in with every reputable animal rights organization that I could think of, and I asked them all the same question. What is the most humane way to relieve a baby lamb of its testicles? And they all told me the same thing. They all weighed in. Sheep banding. That was the preferred method. Albert knew all about sheep banding. Question is, why wasn't he doing it?
You gotta make sure you go...
So we asked Albert to demonstrate how it's done, but we left this out of our original show.
You gotta make sure you got both testicles.
And that just stays on there and they fall off eventually?
There you go. Yep. See the rubber band?
Well, that almost seems cruel.
That is cruel.
Oh, let's not do anything cruel then.
Too late now. He's already done banded.
Oh, man. So it's more humane to... Really?
It's more... humane to cut them quick.
Right.
They'll heal faster, it'll hurt less.
Why do they gotta cut their balls off anyway?
Watch that one. He's kicking and pretty quick if I go over and lay down in the corner.
Oh, the one with the bands.
Yeah.
He's already laying down in the corner.
Because he's uncomfortable.
Very.
Because he's got a band around his scrotum.
Of course. And that band was Van Halen.
Those are a lot more painful. A lot more intense.
Aching.
Aching.
I don't even understand what he was doing with his teeth anyway. I don't even get it.
Grabbed his all nuts right. And ripped them off.
No, I get it.
But like grabbed them like the way,
oh, yeah.
Like if there was it. A cluster
the
of peanuts.
We're wrong, but Albert.
You know
what?
Basically, you ever had a steak right. Sandwich with a little tough meat?
Yeah.
And you're
beware
chewing.
But is he pulling the whole testicle out?
He's exposing both testicles, and then biting the base of them and pulling, ripping them out.
And then the testicles are in his mouth.
In his mouth.
And then he spits them out.
And then he spits them out. Neuter scooter.
He should have called the neuter scooter.
Yeah.
He really should have. That is so...
Look at that. I'm back to the other page.
That's amazing. Yeah, by clicking on it, it's unbelievable. That's just unreal.
I'll leave that in.
That's all right.
My phone.
Watching
that, you're like, oh,
yeah. As a guy, women will never understand that.
I've had mouths on my balls. You know what I mean?
Of course,
I've had my balls in mouths.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think I know what you
mean.
Did
I say my mouths on balls?
Yeah.
Did I say that first?
Fuck. I don't know. Now I got to go back when
I've
I listen.
I've had my mouth on balls.
Oh, boy, because if you do.
There's been mouths on my balls.
Yeah, and let me tell you something.
I've had a ball in the
it's
mouth.
It's a very, very fine line.
I've had balls in the mouth.
We know. We get it. Girls have
a
sucked.
A mouth, not the mouth.
Girls have sucked your balls. Can we move on?
Sorry.
But there's a very fine line when that goes on where it's bordering pain and pleasure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's very, very tough.
Yeah.
So I can imagine it happening to goats.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
Mikey!
What's going on, pal?
Take a seat, and why don't we put the lights on and then take a quick break.
Let's take a quick break.
Let's quick break, and then we'll come.
What was that?
What?
Quick came out like...
I was trying to say quick break as one word.
So
I said quake. Let's take a quake. Let's just do that real quick. We'll take a quick break.
And we'll get back to the balls.
And then we'll come back with the superstar, Mike Gaffney. All right, we'll be right back. Conti Kenny Show. This will be quick.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no, no, no. Donald, oh, no.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? Not as painful as that. Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
CZW!
Hey, smokers, you stink. I'm not talking about your character. That's a given. I'm talking about your clothes. It's time to kick the butts and move over to something more pleasant. I'm talking about e-cigs from Smokeless Image. They're cheaper than cigarettes, don't smell, and are available in a wide variety of flavors ranging from mints, fruits, desserts, or the traditional tobacco flavors if that's what you want. Simply go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke for all your vaping needs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRtees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRtees. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRtees.
To subscribe to the podcast, get it on iTunes, more like radio.com, or ConciandKenny.com. And for the special episodes of Shorts, subscribe on iTunes or ConciandKenny.com. It's as simple as that. Enjoy Conti and Kenny. Enjoy the Conti and Kenny show. It's wonderful. It's hilarious. It's... Oh, fuck. Who am I kidding? It's a load of fucking shit. Just listen to it. It's better when Johnny O's on. He's always funny.
Hey, this is Bonnie McFarlane. I'm checking out the Conti and Kenny show, right? Am I? Oh, I'm checking it out, or they are.
They are.
Okay, let me try it one more time. I've also checked it out. I'm also doing it. We're all doing it. We're all checking it out. The Conti and Kenny show. Check it out. You are already.
I'm Bonnie McFarlane.
And you are checking out the Conti and Kenny show. You can't mess up that one. I guess he gets that a lot, right? The Conti and Kenny show. All right, this is Bonnie McFarlane, the Conti and Kenny show. That's what you're listening to. All right, kids. Good. Bye. Am I still fucking recording? How do I turn it off?
I have to shut it off.
Are you done?
All right. We're all talking about Kenny's life. Yeah. Trying to see if that shit's getting straightened out.
Yeah, sure.
We are back. It's a Conti Kenny show. And wow, long time, man, since Mikey's been in the studio. And now it's like, you know, we have to make sure we get in touch with his agent. We got to make sure, you know, we can fit it in his schedule. He's a superstar on NBC on this season of Last Comic Standing. This will be the only season that I will watch now. I've never watched it.
No?
No, I've just seen little clips. Whenever I find out that somebody I knew was on it, I would find them on it. Like when Mikey DiStefano was on it, and Bichetti and all those guys, I would find out, check those out, but I didn't care.
Right.
I just never did, but this year now I got to watch, because I have to find out, you know, what happened.
Because, yeah, I usually don't watch it unless it's a pal, you know?
Right.
Because I'm like, you know,
yeah, but it's Mike not Gaffney, me. So now
I'm not on that gig.
Exactly. So Mike Gaffney, our pal, is here, who is going to be on Last Comic Standing.
Yes.
It starts on the 22nd, right?
May 22nd, this new season starts.
Uh-huh.
And it is called the Invitational Rounds. There's 100 comedians. vying for the semifinal spot, and you will see me in that round. That's
Gash's been on a little bit of a roll.
Yeah,
I see him for Axis. On Axis is set awesome, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Then I caught you on Artie Lang's show.
Yeah. And did you catch me on 30 Rock? Were you one of the ones that said, I just see you on 30 Rock?
No.
I did background on 30 Rock.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. And if you watch the episode, it's just they keep sending me in a loop. So it's like, how many times?
It's like the Truman Show.
How many times did you come down the stairs, Mike? Like, I just kept coming down the same flight of stairs.
I was exercising. I lost a little weight. But, you know, before we make it all about him, just to let you know, last Wednesday, I did the station Bar and Grill in Garwood, and Kenny used to do comedy. So just give you an idea. You know, this is all about you, all right, Mike?
Career. Yeah.
All right, let's
rehash yours first.
Let's just get to it. Did you fucking win?
I didn't even know you were on it. And I'm watching Saturday Night Live, just sitting, I'm like, oh shit, Gav!
And it wasn't
even like they just showed a flash. You got like material out.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it was like probably about two different clips, probably about 10 seconds worth of material.
I know.
And I'm like, oh shit! So I text you right away.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, fucking bumper in Saturday Night Live.
I wasn't allowed to even up until the 15th. We weren't really allowed to talk about being on it at all.
At all.
They had even released the commercials and people were recognizing me, but I couldn't. All I would do is when people would. Like, put it on my wall, I would just like it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I think I've seen you on NBC. I like that.
Yeah, I didn't post. I sent you a text.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? But I, you know, we weren't really allowed to talk about it, but I am on the show, and the first round is, it's different this year. I can just tell you that. This is a revamped, it's like the new franchise.
Really, yeah?
Totally.
Better?
And I think the question in the chat room could explain. The question is, I really want to know how much of that conflict is contrived and how much is it real on the last Comic Standing show. That's what's different about this year.
Oh, that's not, like, that's it, those last.
Those are those last types of episodes where, weren't they in a house?
They were in a house for the first couple, and then there was, like, you know, I think they took the house part away for the last, like, maybe four seasons, but they put them through challenges. I don't remember exactly what it was. I just know that the producers of this year are Wanda Sykes and Paige Horowitz. Now, Paige was always involved on some level, but Wanda Sykes is like, you know, she's a comics comic.
Yeah, exactly.
And they pride themselves. If you hear, there's interviews out there, so anything I'm saying has been said by them. There's interviews out there about, they hand picked the 100 to start the show. They handpicked. They had put calls out to agents and managers and had people submit. It wasn't like they're not presenting the show as an amateur showcase. They're presenting the show as comedians. The purpose of the show is to find a sitcom, to find a new sketch show,
right.
To find something, right? That's the purpose. There's an interview with Wanda and J.B. Smoove, who's the host this year.
He calls her Wanda now. Motherfucker. Miss Sykes. But Wanda, if you're nasty.
There's an interview, and she's talking about what the purpose of the show is, and she says they're looking, whoever the winner is, the winner gets $250,000. That's $150,000 as a prize money, right? $50,000 is a development deal, and $50,000 is a holding, like a talent holding.
Gotcha.
So they're looking to find a sketch show, something. That's what they're looking to do.
Right.
In this interview, Wanda says, I see as of right now maybe six, besides the winner. She goes, I see about six shows. So you're hoping, when she's talking about the six shows,
you're hoping that one of them is you.
I hope that she's... has me in her mind.
Yeah,
right.
MG show.
Yeah.
Do they still do like American Idol? And even then, in the first couple of seasons, they had, like, you know, the guy with a kazoo. You know,
it's professional.
Professional.
Every comic.
Okay.
Because they used to do that with Last Comic Standing.
Absolutely.
Too. Where you would get clown. The weirdos and, you know.
Yeah, some guy with a chicken suit on. Like, you know, I was Rocky Laporte is a comedian on the show, and he's been doing it for years. A funny dude. He's been doing it since '88. He's from Chicago. I don't know if you ever hear, you see, once you see him, you're like, I know that guy. He's got that. Oh, it's good, no? Like, he got that, okay. Chicago. But he said, don't feel bad, bro. I lost out when I first came on the show. I lost out to a chicken. So, you know, so whatever happens on this thing, you got to feel pretty good because I freaking lost out to a chicken.
What that, you know, the first couple of seasons, your comics, so you're like, all right, let me watch it. Let me check it out. I know a couple of people I've seen.
You never auditioned, right?
No, I never did.
You did the first season like I did.
That 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 degrees out.
But the very first season, we didn't know. Right, we didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
It's the first season of a national show that's like American Idol. Holy shit, let's do that. You know what I'm saying? We stood in line.
It was me, Dave, Matt, and Kyle.
Yeah, you guys were first.
We were literally the first 4 people online. We got there at 2 a.m.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah, Rocky. Great guy.
Okay.
Oh, what a great guy. Great guy.
He's been in some stuff, hasn't he?
He's been in a couple things, man.
Yeah.
He's been on every... Remember all the shows, Evening at the Improv?
Yes.
All of those. He's been on all of those. He's been doing it since 88.
Wow. Damn.
He got shot 5 times or 4 times.
Move out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, really. He was a truck driver before he started doing comedy.
He got shot being a truck driver?
Yeah, they got
say, don't do the Apollo.
Yeah. I opened for Kathleen Madigan like a month ago.
Very oh, down funny. In AC, right?
One of my favorite women comedians.
Yeah, hilarious. Yeah. And what a great woman.
Yeah.
We hung out in the green room after the show, just me and her, and talking for like hours about comedy.
I've always liked her for years.
She is a comics comic. She's about comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
she's an Irish dude. She's not,
yeah,
she's not
yeah, totally. Yeah. So we was talking about Rocky, like just talking about his story and how great a guy he is. He's a really good guy. But, yeah, so I mean, difference is you remember the seasons. It was like the Idol, you know, showing a bad singer. Bad watching unfunny comedy is not fun. It's not entertaining in the least.
Right.
Even if you're showing it as unfunny comedy,
right.
Look at the clips of the people who suck. That's not fun to watch.
It's not.
It's not. It's not entertaining. Yeah. So it never worked, and they always knew it's just like a filler. So we all stood in line forever for these auditions, and we didn't have a chance.
No.
But at the first season, we didn't know that.
No, we were told we were going to get 3 minutes. And then as more and more people came in, we saw more and more people that were happened to be the
age. So you got there what time?
2 a.m.
And what time did you get seen?
I don't know, 3 p.m.
And you were first in line.
We were first in line.
First in line.
I got 90 seconds.
And you got 90. Now, first in line. You know why? Because there was a line around Madison Square Garden, right? It was huge. I didn't get seen until about 6:37, and I got there about 8 a.m. The line wrapped around
6:37 at night.
Yep, 6:37 at night. Because there was about 150 scheduled auditions.
Scheduled, yeah.
Yeah.
So you got there first, and then all the scheduled like I got to see
Voss and all those guys that they were all under management. They were all under certain management who were part of the show. You know what I mean? That's how it worked.
Well, that's why
we didn't know.
That's why I never. I never did it because I heard the stories.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So I'm like cattle call. I'm not, you know, it's set up. I told everybody it's fake. It's set up.
That's why I'm bringing that up is because I did it that one time and I was like, this is. And then you learned your lesson because it was the first time. And then everybody started to hear about it. Then you start to see the show and you start to see the comics that were on the show. There was like what, that guy, like Voss, even like Voss. We know. Yeah. Voss has been doing it 20 years.
Yeah.
This isn't amateurs. And then we in the all the like the sheeps were like, oh man, we were fooled, right?
Yeah.
So then the community heard it and then, like nobody wanted to support the show, right? It became like not really nobody really wanted to do it, but people did it and they want to.
And plus the fact that it wasn't a real true talent show. It was they were doing it like the American Idol with the freaks and the guys bouncing chicken on a thing.
4 years in the chat. It says, I remember one time some fat old guy came up on stage, fell down and rolled around, got up and said, that's how I roll.
Yeah, that was Lavelle. What's the name? Lavelle? You know the black guy. I can't think of his name. Yeah, my cousin loves him.
Is that big, huge
dude?
Yeah,
the big black guy. He's in like a lot of movies.
You always think he's Lavelle. Earthquake, but he's not Earthquake.
No, it was Lavelle.
Oh, he was in Breaking Bad?
Yes, Lavelle. Yes.
He was the... Well, no, Kenny never saw Breaking Bad, but he's huge. Huge, but he's been a comic forever.
And he's hilarious. I mean, he kills.
Really?
Yeah, and my cousin, she when she found out, when she saw me post that I was on it, she instant messaged me right away. She's like, oh my God, we love that guy. And he was fat. He said, I've ripped. And then the same joke.
Same joke.
That's how I roll.
Well, he said, that's how I roll. It was terrible and it made me laugh.
And he made it to the finals. I don't know if he won, but he was on it.
Oh shit. All right.
Yeah.
Then I know who you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Because the last time I watched it was when Geraldo was
a judge.
One of the judges.
Which is,
and I thought that
Mikey
was
DiStefano
cool.
Year.
Yeah, and that was, and I was watching because of Mikey DiStefano.
And we were doing the show. We were doing this show. Remember, we would see the, we would watch it here. Remember, we would watch some of the, some of the, what do you call it? The see where they're at. We would talk about it on the show.
Yeah, that was the last. That, but I think that might have been the last season that it was
on. It was the last season. Yeah, it's been 4 years gone. It's been, so I'm talking about the way the negative vibe we got from it in the community. I could tell you this, if I can do anything for the show, what they've done this season is...
It sounds like they've tightened it up and...
They're all about...
They're asking in the chat room, is that him?
That's him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all about comics. Like, there's no gimmicky person... In the hundred.
There's no need to.
Okay.
There's enough people watching enough comedy shows out there right now. That
you can go,
why
straight
would
straight up
need
comedy?
That?
All you have to do is go straight up comedy.
Comedy Central. The weirdest thing Comedy Central will do is when they do that comic rewind.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just plays smaller snippets of comics.
Yeah, yeah.
And blows through. But it's still just regular comics, professionals.
This top 100, the invitational round, 100 invitational. I mean, there's big dogs name. You know, it's Kurt Metzger. Will Silvins. I mean, there's some big names.
These guys have been, Will Silvins has been around
Will
forever,
Silvins,
too.
Greer Barnes. Lynn Coplitz.
Greer Barnes, huh?
Yeah, he's a beast. Lynn Coplitz.
Lynn Coplitz is a big one, too.
Vecchione.
Yeah.
I mean, you have like
some really...
He's doing good, huh?
Vinnie Brand. I mean, there's...
Oh, some, Vinnie Brand
yeah,
did
Vinnie
it, too?
Brand. Trying to think of all the names. Jimmy Schubert.
Oh, from Philly, yeah.
Yeah, man, there's some...
How about the Attell Underground? Any word on it?
I mean, I don't know if they picked up another season, but I mean, I heard they shot them all.
Yeah. Oh, they did shoot them all already?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, you'd be perfect on that.
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping that this little thing here will get me
on. Yeah,
you know, get me to that to the cellar. If I can get in the cellar, then I can get on there.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That's all the comics are on there are cellar comics.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
But if I could tell anybody to like, I was talking to. Johnny McCarthy today, I am in one another, and he had said,
I'm just kidding.
He commented about it, like him not liking the fact that there was no auditions for it. There was no open auditions. And I said, but you're a comic. Do you know that no one from the open audition was getting on? And they didn't want to present it to America as an amateur show. Why can't you respect the fact that what we do is a craft? And you can't just be a mook who's funny at work and win Last Comic Standing
and get a development deal.
Yeah, it's like that exactly.
You don't have the experience or anything to put. Say some guy just for out of nowhere just wins. You know, some fucking.
What are they doing with
some,
it?
Some you know.
It's happened.
Truck driver or something like that, and then they go, "All right, well, give me a show."
Right.
Well, they said that, like, the
it's
first
a waste,
year
a waste.
When Dad Fan won, Dad Fan, and he was don't get me wrong, he was a stand up. He had 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He had 20 minutes of material, and he had to go around and tour around the country. So they had to get guys to work with him to get him his 45 minutes
right.
So he can go out on tour.
Yeah.
So it's like what we're doing is what they're doing is they're almost telling the audience, "All right, we're going to assume that you're better than what we think."
Right.
Okay? You're smarter than that. And you're going to realize that just putting the clown show on isn't what you really want.
No, and they didn't. America didn't want that. That was why it wasn't a successful show, because of those horseshit comics on there that no one was like, this isn't fun to watch. No one's having fun right now.
Yeah.
It got good when we got to the top 10, because that's where your juiced was. Right. Comics were. But like to go through the, there's a guy wearing a dress.
The
oh,
rigmarole.
My God. Come on, man. This isn't comedy.
Yeah,
this isn't fun. Nobody's having fun. And then they would try to do like the little gag reels of Italian comics and dumb blonde jokes, and they would try to do the thing, but
it just wasn't good. It waters it down,
and it discredits what we do. You make it seem like any mook can do that. Yeah. And I think Wanda and Paige were like, no, no more of that. We are accepting, I think, they never gave a number, but someone told me like 3,000 submissions. They went through them all and handpicked.
That's pretty cool, man.
100.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
To get on a gig like that, that's pretty good.
So that's when you watch it.
Handpicked.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, and this season, a couple things. The awesome judges. They have, I mean, like legit, you got
Roseanne
Barr, Keenan Ivory Wayans, and Russell Peters. Russell Peters sells out arenas.
Yeah.
Around the world. He's the biggest comic in the world. So at least you had, although I liked when Geraldo was on.
Yeah, because he was a
real comic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I liked him. And I thought, but you could tell, and then he did say in some interviews that, you know, he was a little nice. Not that he was supposed to, you know, like, be mean, but he would always try to find a little bit of the positive for...
Yeah.
And it sucks because when you're dealing with the clown aspect of it, not when you get down to nitty gritty. Because when you... Look, if you're going to talk to somebody who's like, hey, I'm a comic, blah! You know, no, you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
You could sit there and be like, oh, well, that's great, but look, Kenny Michaels or Mike Gaffney go up there and be like, dude, I thought it was great. You know, you could just work on this and that. You'll know what he's talking about.
Right.
And you may not get offended by that because you'll be like, you know what? The dude's right. He's not saying I suck. He's saying, hey, you know what? You're doing real great. You just have to work on this.
And they all have a purpose. I mean, like Keen, like this year's show is going to be all focused on comedy craft. Okay. So you have Keenan, who knows sketch and improv. He gets that. Roseanne knows writing. She knows act. She knows characters.
Right, right, right.
And Russell Peters knows how to do comedy on stage and perform. He gets it.
Yeah.
So they want to see all the aspects. So
Well, that's the whole thing was on your clip in Saturday Night Live. Roseanne Barr's like, I love you.
And yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Yes. I'm like, all right, Gav. I'm like, holy shit, dude. Roseanne Barr loves you.
What do you call it? What was I going to say? Oh.
You got the lineup of the three. So all the bases are covered.
All the bases are covered. And they're like supportive. It's just a really, it was a really good, the whole experience was great. I can just tell you that. They took care of you. It was just a great experience.
It's so much different than before. You know, that cattle call and everything. Now, you know, handpicked. Even if you win or you don't win, we can't say or nothing like that.
What can you say?
I did. I said it already.
You did?
I pretty much said everything I can.
Okay.
The show, here, I'll tell you what I can tell you. May 22nd, this Thursday, the show starts. It's a two-hour season premiere. It comes on every Thursday after that, 1 hour. And in the season finale, I'll have a two-hour finale.
Two-hour finale.
Okay. It's starting out with 100 who were hand-picked. There is no...
How many did they pick? 100?
I said it was about 3,000, I think. There's no number. Nobody gave you that number. That doesn't even come into the show. But there's a hand-picked out of 100, but she saw many.
My point was, just getting to that, that's a little tap on the back.
It makes you feel good. Yeah. Especially when you see
you're doing the right thing. You know what I mean? You know you're doing good.
When you're out there shooting this and you see it, it was like being on the road with like 25, 50 comics at a clip because each night they did, you know, there's 25 that perform in each round. I mean, so the first round is 100 people. Each show is 25 comics performing for that night.
Wow.
So you're in the hotel, your night is tomorrow, and their night's tonight. So there's 50 comics, just everybody's just kind of hanging out in the lobby.
No kidding.
And then, like, you start, like, I knew comic, I met comics there, so they took me to their clubs, so I got to perform at the Improv. The Hollywood Improv.
This was filmed out in L.A.
Yeah.
That's right. I saw the picture. Yeah. Yeah.
So I went out there. I got to work. I asked Sebastian if I can get to a spot at the Hollywood Improv. And I had to host that show, which was awesome. And then the next times I was out, I got to go to, I got to perform at Flappers.
Sure.
I got to perform at the Haha Cafe and the Ice House.
The Ice House, nice.
Yeah.
Let me guess. Your best set was at the Ice House.
I was in the smaller room.
Oh, okay.
My best set was at the Haha Cafe.
Oh, okay.
Because they're a grimy, like the Ha. They're like Ha.
Oh, they're like Ha.
But like
with
like
an extra
nice,
Ha in it?
Yeah, with an extra Ha. couple of extra.
Yeah, extra fucking
But they're like little couches. It's like a good gritty. Okay. Like there's Mexicans, blacks, whites. It's like
you
a
could
whole
be real raw.
Mix.
You
can... Ah, it's beautiful.
That's cool.
Hollywood Improv. Those fucking people kiss my ass.
That's perfect. I know exactly what you said. Yeah. A lady trucker in the chat room, she said, Mike, what kind of show would you develop if you won?
What you kind of show?
Yeah, you got anything in mind? That,
yeah, because they ask you that. Like,
oh, really?
In the interview process, they say, what would you pitch a show? I mean, right now, I'm a my story is I'm a recovering alcoholic, 21 years. I'm a single father of two teenagers. I've been raising them kind of alone for 10, almost 11 years. So the story would be single dad. My story would be I'm a recovering alcoholic who's also a counselor. This was about the sitcom I wrote. I'm also a drug counselor who owns my own private counseling practice, and I practice out of my back of my house. So there's patients always coming to my house.
That's where the characters come in.
Characters come in, yeah. And then you go through the door, and there's my house where my kids are at.
Then you got to deal with that.
And then on the name of the show is going to be No Patience, but not because on the door to go into my room, to my house, I put a sign, No Patience, go through that door.
Into the house.
But, yeah.
Dude, see? Fucking.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
So that was my pitch.
It should we have said that over the year or something?
No, they don't. I don't.
Yeah, Lady Trucker isn't going to produce a fucking sitcom. She's in Idaho somewhere.
She might just drive through the house that has the No Patience sign with her fucking load, whatever she's carrying.
But that's cool, you know. But you have to kind of go in there thinking, what would you produce, right? Because they ask you that, they want to know.
I mean, that's my idea, but you have, you know. There's on that show, I met so many producers. I mean, there's so many comics, too. I met You Fink. I don't know if you know that comic.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, I don't.
He's
a writer, producer on the show.
Oh, Hugh Fink?
You Fink. H-U-G-H, Fink.
I don't think so. I don't think
if you pull up his picture, you'd be like, oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, I know that guy. Yeah. You Fink. Who was another comic that's like a writer, producer on the show? Great guy. Stillson. Jeff Stillson. He's been around since the 80s. You've seen he wrote for Letterman. He wrote for, I think, Conan. Yeah, he's been doing it forever. He's a writer, producer on the show. Met with him. Just some really good guys. And these guys were like, you know, you've seen him.
You've seen him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you know exactly.
So he's a great guy. And he was just telling me, like, he's like, there's, you know, even whatever happens in the big picture of this show, there's people seeing you that are writers. And they see your story.
Yeah.
And they like what you, well, your character. They like that
your
stuff.
Your sitcom would come from your stand-up.
From my stand-up.
Absolutely.
I was watching a thing about Rodney today.
And to be honest, real quick, how could you do anything else? How could you write a sitcom about being like a baseball player?
I could.
You know?
Yeah, right. You got to be real creative.
Yeah.
Or you have to be friends with Kenny and have him tell you about being a baseball player. Two things. One is a quick question in the chat. What's the most racy thing that they allowed you to get through? And then they said, now if you're on Conti Kenny, there's no way that you're a clean comic. You don't have to be specific. Was there a certain type of a joke that you got through?
You had to submit all your material. I can tell you that.
So you had to go. You had to perform it verbatim.
Yeah. Well, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
So that didn't work out. But I did have to submit it, and I have a joke about my son that I never really did it on the show, but I submitted it, and I talk about McDonald's. I mentioned McDonald's, but I mentioned he says he went to football, we play football, and he stopped at McDonald's for breakfast. And
yeah, I know that joke.
You know, and then afterwards, he got McDonald's for dinner, and I'm like, what kind of unhealthy football team do you play for that you guys just hang out at McDonald's all day? I was told not to say unhealthy football because it looks bad
bashing
on McDonald's.
Can
you imagine?
Possible sponsor or something.
If you didn't, people wouldn't know that McDonald's is unhealthy for
you. But they are a sponsor, and I can't say they're unhealthy.
Yeah.
So I switched it up, and I wrote it, and I called it a diner.
Yeah.
So, okay. You went to diner. Then I wrote an extra joke. My buddy, I forget who said, told me, and I was like, what is your coach, Greek? Like, because he stopped at diners twice. I'm like, what is your coach, Greek? What the hell kind of coach do you have?
That's funny.
So I changed the joke up, but it never made it to the show. But that was how strict it was. And there was another joke I submitted about my mom. My mom hit me when I was a kid, and they wanted to know would I get her to sign a release form.
What the fuck?
Really? Where saying it was okay to...
So, I mean, like, there was things that you had to... I mean, you had to run it through standards and practices.
Standards and practices, yeah.
There's, I mean, there's, it's a big network. I mean, some people really get pissed. Some people just get really pissed. Like, you don't get it? Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get why I can't say it.
Okay. That would be my answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it. Like, nothing bothered me.
Put me on a TV. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Let me. Like, this is your network, right? Whatever you say.
I'll play the game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, now, if you told me, listen, I know you talk about hating your kids and stuff. Can you do me a favor? Can you do us a favor and talk about how much you love them? A lot. Can you write jokes about that? I'm like, we got the wrong comment then. You want?
No, they didn't say that.
No, I'm saying no.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That would be different because then they want me to change who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
But me changing a couple of words.
Tweaking something.
I get it.
We want you to change.
Yeah.
We want you to love your... Talk about loving your kids.
Can you talk about how much you moderately drink? It's like,
yeah,
no.
I don't
can't
drink.
Do that.
Yeah, like, hey, can you just say that you drink once in a while?
Once in a blue moon.
I would never say no. Yeah, so that wouldn't happen.
I was watching the thing on Rodney today on a bio channel, and the one of the guys was saying when he was going to go on Carson. You know, it's Carson, it's NBC, it's a network. And he goes, think about going and doing a show for 50 people and doing that every single night for 50 years.
Yeah.
That's how long it'll take you to reach the amount of people that you would reach in one night.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe it wasn't 50 people.
Oh,
but
I see what you're
saying. In other words, he goes, you do a club every night with 10 people in it. You'd have to do that every night for the next 50 years to get the amount of people that you're going to see in one time.
Right. Yeah.
And whether or not that's mathematically correct or not for him, but for you, Mike, it's... I told you the other night, we were on the phone. I go, it's going to get fucking nuts. And when this hits... When he's on, it's already getting kooky, and it's just a little commercials.
I know.
Wait until it hits, dude. Everything about him is going to blow up. His Twitter account, his Facebook, he's going to get... It's going to be the biggest thing. You're on network fucking TV. And you think, oh, big deal. There's Comedy Central. There are so many more people that watch network television. The numbers, even though cable is huge, it still blows it out.
It doesn't even
come close, which makes... Because you don't realize how many people... don't have cable in this country.
Right. I was looking at numbers like from other shows, and like I mean, it looks like the average, like really good nights are like 6 to 7 million for like viewership on a network.
Right, right.
I mean, now when the first Last Comic came out, they had 13 million viewers, and then when they stopped going to the house and living together, it went down to like 8 million. I don't think that many people are watching network TV anymore, but what I see is 4 or 5 million, 6 million,
yeah.
Like, okay, 4 million.
Yeah. I think Chips Cooney, the first episode he was on of America's Got Talent, I think it was around 11.5 or 12 million, okay. Something like that. And that was a big deal because it's like the 13 million.
I'm wondering, we're thinking maybe, you know, the first, this relaunch. And again, if I can speak about this. Well,
here's the thing. Think about the 100 people handpicked. All I see is Gaffney in bumpers on fucking Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live. It's been around 30 years.
I know.
People watch this fucking
show. Even 4 years said Hulu numbers alone will explode. You know?
Right. Oh, that's true.
You know, now
yeah.
People don't even need cable. A lot of people don't use cable because they just go to Hulu
right.
or Netflix or whatnot.
I know that it's overwhelming with family members. People like people who saw me, people who know me or recognize me. So which means... All the people who don't know me are saying, who's this chunky dude yelling all the time? Why does he keep yelling about his kids? And eventually, when that Mike Gaffney sticks long enough behind them, because you see it, but it's quick, but somebody's going to see it.
Oh, that's a great picture you posted.
Oh, that was
big,
awesome.
Big, you know, on stage, yes. Big,
somebody
huge
took lights. Paused the television and took a picture of it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But you could see the Mike Gaffney behind me, and I'm like, I don't know how long that... I haven't seen the commercial yet.
Oh, you haven't seen
it? No, I've seen... I seen a real clip, quick, and I was like, what is that? That was me. And then the other day, I'm like, I want to film it. So I'm like, I'm holding my camera. Every commercial comes on. I put my video camera on. I'm just recording commercials, right?
Yeah.
Right? I swear to God, I know the commercial patterns. I know exactly how it works, okay? NBC will come out. It'll be product. right? Product, show pro. Show pro. Maybe a movie coming up. Another show pro. Maybe perhaps the news back to the show. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But it's usually about two or three products, show promo. So there was two or three products. Show promo comes on for America's Got Talent. Right? So I'm like, all right, sit. So I stopped recording, put the phone down. The very next goddamn commercial was it. I was like, no, son of a bitch. And I went to go get the phone, and I was gone. I was like, son of a bitch. And then we were at Jose Tejas on Saturday, and Saturday Night Live comes on, and I know it's coming on.
Yeah.
I know the commercial's coming on.
It plays like four times.
Yeah, so I'm looking up. Now, the place was packed, right? Jose Tejas, I'm like looking. We're seated. I can see the TV, and all of a sudden, I see me. No one's watching the television.
Yeah, you're like,
I'm like, look up, people.
It's me. It's me right there. It's me. That's what I would have done.
They said when Rodney got on Sullivan, he was still selling aluminum siding because he sold aluminum siding for a while. And he said at one point he was at a client's house writing up paperwork, and he's like, hey, you think we could watch TV for a few minutes? And the guy's like, all right. And he sat down, and he started watching himself on television. And the guy's like sitting there going, I got the guy on TV is right here. And then, the guy was like totally blown away. And then the neighbor said, he does that on the side. He's the aluminum siding guy, but he does the comedy on the side.
It's on Sullivan.
On Sullivan.
Hal's on the Twitter. What's your Twitter?
Mike Gaffney Now.
Mike Gaffney Now.
All right. Let me put that down.
Peppermint Patty, one of our listeners, already said she's enjoying you on the show. She already set the DVR to record Last Comic Standing.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's awesome. So thank you so much.
There are some really cool people that check out this show. Holly is from the It's All About Me podcast, which you should do one day. It's on a Saturday at 12 o'clock noon.
Oh, okay. That's
and you doable. Do it, right? Totally doable. Yeah. This one, way too early. Way too early for nocturnal fucking emission.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, I think we should.
We'll take a quick break in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kind of cleanse the palate. Enough about you.
Well, can we? I want to read this thing,
of course.
Has something to do with basically this and all of us. Okay. It's a thing about comedy. Live comedy becomes a $300 million punchline. Without getting into the whole story, but they're talking about profit margins are high, demand is growing, and ticket prices remain attractive in comparison to music and sports, often the $25 to $80 range. And they're saying that the profits for comedians now are at an all-time high.
Oh, yeah.
So they have the top 10 comics. The top 10 arena comedy tours. What it does is shows the total gross, total attendance, total capacity, and number of shows, right?
Uh-huh.
Number 10 is Seinfeld. It's a total gross $206,000. There's about 1,700 in attendance. The capacity was 3,500, one show, $206,000. Kevin James, $230,000, one show, almost sold out of like 5,200 people. Number 8.
$230,000.
Imagine that, huh? Number 8, Jeff Foxworthy. Jeff Foxworthy, $266,000. Almost 6,000 attendance, and the capacity was about 7,500. One show, 266,000. Chris Tucker, number 7, 268,000. Total attendance, it was 3,900. Sold out, one show. Chelsea Handler, $310,000. 5,700. Sold out, one show. Ready for this? Number 5, Gabriel.
Gabriel Iglesias.
Gabriel Iglesias, $331,000. Almost $9,000, 7,600 in attendance.
A lot of people love him. A lot of people
two shows.
Mike Epps, almost $480,000 for two shows, 17,000 capacity, sold out about half it, 9,000, two shows. And now you get to the top three, huge amounts. Louis C.K., ready for this? $549,000, the attendance. The capacity was 11,400. The total attendance was 10,900.
Wow.
One show. $549,000. And number 2, Cat Williams, $732,000. Capacity 20,000. Total attendance 12,000. Three shows, right? Number 1, it doesn't even come close.
Russell Peters? Or George Lopez one? No?
Dude. You know what? I'll tell you the numbers. Okay. You tell me who it is.
What year? Do we have the years?
This is all within from January 2013 to now.
Oh, okay.
So go it's ahead. A year and 4 months.
Okay. Got
the total gross, $3,737,382.
Kevin Hart.
Total capacity, 92,000. No. Total attendance, 80,000. 12 shows.
12 shows.
12 shows. 80,000 people in 12 shows. $3.7 million.
Jeff Dunham.
Jeff fucking Dunham.
There you go. Yeah.
Is that amazing?
Wow. What was the money again?
3.7.
Oh my God, I need a dummy. Shows. I need a dummy.
12 shows.
Aside from my son, I need a real dummy.
Look, our friend who's not around anymore has got one.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go get one from Otto. Dude, $3.7 million. But they're saying the reason these numbers are so huge is because
it's affordable. Is that
all you really need is a good sound system?
Yep.
Microphone. The guy's pretty much, you know, once in a while you need some sort of sound.
Very low maintenance.
Yeah, you don't have to have. And they say most of the catering is under $500.
Right.
It's about $500 to cater. And they said there's one comic who is a regular arena comic where his catering is almost every time under $50.
White ass Brent. There you go.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
that's awesome.
Nice
thanks,
work,
man.
Brent.
That's on the promo, that 40-second promo. That it's just me. It's a real quick clip. So you got to really stop it to get that.
Yeah, he's Brent is awesome.
All right, you want
to
take
that's crazy, but you know, I would like to match that up with like what does like Aerosmith get one shot? You know what I mean?
But it's still it.
But the production value, the production cost is probably skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Pay them. So, you know what I mean? Like a comic, you need a microphone, a spotlight, a stage.
They already have the lights. They already have the sound. You just plug in a microphone.
Just plug it in. You can do like a Rich Carucci. Boom. We're here. You guys ready for a show? Starting it up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we apologize you're still eating, but let's give it a shot anyway.
I mean, what does it take to put a show on? And people, I mean, like most comics.
You just hear, check, as the salad comes out. Yeah. Check.
Hey, guys!
Like, what the fuck?
what do you call it? I mean, they try to, all these guys were big fans. I mean, besides like a Seinfeld and these, they try to keep the ticket prices reasonable.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to charge their fans too much money. I said $35, $45.
Yeah, to be honest, I got, last 2 weeks ago, I went and took my sisters to see Eddie Izzard.
I'm surprised. Kevin Hart wasn't on that list.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But I think
you know what? He might not be touring yet.
He's not doing.
He's doing movies.
He's doing. Yeah. I don't think he's doing arenas.
Yeah. I think he's probably busy doing movies and shit. And,
right.
And then once that calms down, he'll go back on the road.
We were looking at like gross worth last night, and we were like, Kevin Hart's like if you had to take a guess, we Googled it. It was if you had to take a guess, his gross worth. What would you think? Like his.
He's only, it's only been a couple of years, so I would say I would say maybe 20, 30 million.
So I said like 40 million. It's only 9 million.
Is it only 9 million? Wow.
But he went through a divorce, so that you see,
yeah, and also he's just starting his ride. You know what I mean? He's just starting the because there's
that
always
30 guy posse like every other black guy.
there's always
like,
that
take out my garbage. All right, can you stop fucking paying everybody?
Whether it's Seinfeld, whether it's Chris Rock, whether it's you know this one, there's always that guy everyone you know is the top comedian in the country.
I mean,
whatever.
Yeah, Kevin Hart. I mean, like,
yeah, and think about it. Louis C.K. is doing his show,
and Louis,
he's doing his show.
Yeah.
You know, which is you know half the year filming and going out. Doing it every single night and then doing the arena shows. So
yeah, so Eddie Izzard, Middle Balcony, NJ Pact, it was like $72 a ticket.
Right.
You know, and you can get like 100 and something on the floor and everything, you know, for 100 and something bucks. And I guess that place probably holds about 3-4 grand. And there was maybe 80% filled.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I guess to do a venue like that, it's simple. He had a little bit of production because
he has a screen and stuff like that.
Yeah. But you just imagine, you know, how does a venue like NJ Pack that seats 4,000 people, how do they pay $300,000 Yeah, I would have to. You'd have to sit down and do the numbers. And,
well, if you,
and, you
if
know.
You're if you're charging 40, let's just say 40, 50 bucks a ticket, and 3,000 people
from 40 to 100.
What do you think they get the comic? Let's say the act gets
80%, 50%,
whatever it is.
I'm sure
percentage of each ticket, not of the door. Probably of each ticket.
Or would I'm thinking it's probably already contracted.
The math still comes to the same.
Same thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's 80 bucks, probably for the door. I would say, and then they got merch.
Yeah.
These
yeah.
big acts have merch, and they all have, and that's where their money really is.
Yeah. No, Eddie Izzard did too. The cool thing about Eddie Izzard, comes after the show, does a Q&A right in the lobby.
Oh, and everybody can come up to
yeah.
him and talk?
Yeah, just, it. Yeah. He, there's like the front doors, and then he comes down these steps right there. They set up a quick microphone, spent about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes talking like politics and whatnot.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool. Really cool.
All right, before you take a break, let me just tell you about, I just want to say, any comic who's listening out there, anybody, I'm really trying to be an advocate for this newer format of the show and for Last Comic Standing. I really, really think it can really showcase comedy, stand-up comedy, in its real deal form, like showing comedy, what it's pulling the curtains back, like Wanda Sykes said, pulling the curtains back and showing how we do our process. That's what it's doing. That's the whole show. It's just really, and I think after this season, it's going to relaunch that franchise where people are going to want to be a part of it. I think, like, we've heard so many negative things as a comedy community with the show. Like, yeah, I don't even want to be a part of it anymore. But I think this season's going to change. I mean, I'm hoping it does.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad that'll make me watch. Yeah. You know, that'll make me watch.
Yeah, I'm not only watch, you dumbass, be a part of. I thought I was talking to a comedian. I'm talking to a fan. I'm going to watch it. Idiot.
I'm gonna DVR that shit.
I'm going to DVR it because a lot of times I watch SpongeBob, and I don't want to turn on SpongeBob, but when I do turn on SpongeBob.
I've had the last two gigs I had booked, one guy died, and we got booted out of the other venue.
What? Which one?
Oh. Oh,
what venue did you put it out of?
Oh, the Hoboken. Biggie's. You know that Biggie's comedy room?
Oh, that one that's just on the side street. It's like yeah, on the second yeah. Ave or some shit.
You know, it's one of the, and it had nothing to do with the guy who booked it. He's a friend of ours, Keith. But of course, it's just a typical venue.
Like a
the one that was downstairs, right? It's a down. Yeah, yeah.
Typical venue. They're like, yeah, let's do comedy. Oh, we got a party for 30 people for a confirmation. Move the comedy event. Thanks. You know, it's just like
Big A in the chat says I'm going to watch it because of Gaffney.
Thanks, Big A.
He is the man.
Oh, that was that. What's his name?
Keith Carnevale.
Carnevale.
He's friends. He was friends with the owner, so that's why they asked him. So he's like, all right, you know, typical, you know, you go in there thinking that they're all behind it, but then, we could do a karaoke and somebody's getting a bris. We got to do something else.
It was a Friday night show, right? Friday.
Yeah, it was going to be a
I
Friday night
I went there
night
on
show.
A Friday night. I had he booked me, and Friday night in Hoboken, I got there at 10:15. The place was empty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Friday
they,
night.
They don't do anything.
Nothing.
It's typical. They don't do anything to try to promote. They don't help them at all.
Dude, I mean, I'm not talking about just upstairs. It was 10:15, 10:30. I'm like, are they done? And they're like, yeah, I think we'll get rid of rat. There's two people sitting in a joint on a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just you know.
Yeah, we were just gonna do a Conti and Kenny thing, but that got next. But
yeah,
whatever. Did you guys do a? I was there for that Montclair one, right?
Montclair one. Last year.
Yeah,
that was Kenny's coming out party. You know,
yeah,
he hadn't done comedy in a while, and I thought you did well.
Yeah, we don't have to relive it.
All right, we'll just take a break then. All right, you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, take a pee, and then we'll come back with just, you know, we'll go to 9 tonight.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
A couple of stories. I want to get into that the sleep disorder thing.
Yeah, okay. I just want to say Metal Breakfast Radio, Dave Ingram, his episode 30.7. If you download his podcast, you'll understand. His episode, the whole thing was dedicated to our pal Otto, and check it out. It was really good.
Okay.
So we love Dave for everything that he does. And we'll be right back. It's the Conti Kenny Show, More Like Radio with Mike Gaffney.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
I just got a text message from Dave Ingram.
Oh, really?
Yep. You know, Kenny once told me the best thing about fucking 45-year-olds was that there's 40 of them. Your boy, Pip.
Oh, he sends me little jokes, too, now.
He's such an idiot.
He's like at work. He's just like... It's like, me and him would text back and forth or something like that, and then after that he just sends me little jokes.
That's the master, Dave Ingram, from Metal Breakfast Radio. Great podcast. Go to metalbreakfastradio.com.
Great pal,
and check out their podcast. It's such a unique podcast. It's so different than any other podcast you've ever heard that you should definitely check it out.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Saturday's Noon East. Join Halls and Rorschach as they bring you the news you need to get you through your weekend.
Ollie, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Ollie, I'm outside right now. It's really blowing hard out here.
Sounds like it. Where are you at? Are you in Antarctica?
Wait a minute, Ollie. I see somebody coming toward me. There's a man coming toward me. Hold on a second. What are you doing in my yard? I'm getting too old for this shit.
Danny Glover.
I just want to say that this snowstorm is a bunch of fucking bullshit. I'm going to let you go back in the house, Rorschach, because the sound effect is about to run out.
Hey guys, it's Halls from It's All About Me. Join Rorschach and myself every Saturday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here on More Like Radio.
Here you go. This is how you listen live to the Conti and Kenny Show. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. You can download the TuneIn app and search More Like Radio, or listen through the chat on morelikeradio.com/live from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Then listen to the last hour on contiandkenny.com. Or on ContiandKenny.com from 7 to 10. The whole night. You can hear that however you want, you know? It's just a load of bollocks. It's so convoluted you wouldn't believe. Why they can't just keep it simple? One click. That's all you need. One bloody click. Dopey bloody Guido.
Always brings me down, 'cause it's free and I see.
All right, we're back. Not too long of a break. It's a Conti Kenny Show. We got Mike Gaffney here. The phone number is 240-HI-CNK, which is, that's for real the phone number, Mike.
H-I, like high?
H-I-C-N-K. Frank found that for us. He knew it was douchey enough for us to be a little 1-800. Embarrassed about it, but just enough to where, like, we could make fun of it.
Yeah, 1-800-42-DOUCHEY.
Yes, exactly. And that's 240-442-2635. Mike, what your Twitter is Mike Gaffney Now.
Mike Gaffney Now.
Yep.
And my website's Mike Gaffney Live.
Mike will be on this upcoming season of Last Comic Standing starting on May 22nd, right?
Correct.
This Thursday.
Roe from Long Island. Was that the RJD and Rick James mashup?
Yep.
There you go.
That was the Dio, Rick James mashup.
Oh, Brent just put in, yes, James and Dio.
Yep. We also, Brent just reminded me, we have to tell everybody real quick about the backseat barbecue contest.
Oh, yeah.
Go to our website, Conti and Kenny. Yep. Number three. ContiandKenny.com. Go to the front page. All the rules will be there. Kenny, real quick, explain what the contest is.
Yes, well, the contest, it's not so much of a contest as it a raising of awareness of a tragedy that happens every summer. Negligent parents leave their kids in the backseat of their cars, and then they fry. And we just want to raise awareness of that should not happen, and you're a stupid parent. But we have prizes if you guess the right number.
Exactly. So,
and there's two guesses.
Yep, you have to have your guess in by May 31st. If you go to the website, it'll show you all the rules, but you send your email us at ContiandKenny@AOL. But all the information is right on the page, ContiandKenny.com.
And we're not making fun of it. It's not a joke.
No, we're going to have fun with the parents.
Of course.
We're
going to monitor it.
You're not
going to
realize how many every year this happens.
What was the number last year? Do we have numbers?
We haven't done it in 5 years.
Oh, really? We haven't done it?
No, yeah. It hasn't been since way back.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So we decided to bring it back this year. Because we're desperate.
There's already somebody, right? That happened like a couple weeks ago.
I don't even know if it started yet.
It happened a couple weeks ago. I want to say in Texas or in Southern California. Yeah. Somebody.
I'll bet. I'll absolutely bet. So everybody in the chat, if you want to do it now. The email address, ContiandKenny@AOL. Send us your guess on how many children will perish between June 1st and September 1st. And also for the tiebreaker, if there is one, however your guess is, break it down to how many are boys and how many are girls. If your guess is 30 and then you go 18 are girls, 12 are boys,
right? I just read on I guess it was on one of the Yahoo or whatever, it was a bus crash or a bus fire killed 33 kids.
That doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Nope,
not the same thing.
Nope.
It's when was this?
I just saw it. I didn't read the article. I just saw 33 kids die in bus fire. Not the same thing.
That's
you know what I mean?
And it's not.
You better spell that out then, because barbecue is barbecue.
Whether it's on the parkway with Puerto Ricans or in the front yard with the fucking brothers.
It's the negligent parents. The negligent parents. The ones that go to work or whatever and leave them in the back.
No, it's the ones that go to Target shopping and say just...
Yeah, or the bar.
When they go into the bar and they're just going to go in and get a six-pack and they see their friend who they haven't seen and he's still wearing his high school football jacket
and
they're talking to him for an hour and then they realize that their kid has their fucking fingers stuck to the window because they're just fucking, they're despicable. They're horrendous parents, but we have to...
Not to be a downer, but you know what was crazy? Remember that South Korean, that ferry crash?
Yeah.
When they were pulling out most of the high school kids, they were kids... this isn't funny or anything, but most of their fingers were broken
from trying to
like claw out of the place.
Drowning,
yeah.
Drowning,
trying to claw.
Did they get
out
all the bodies out? Because it was like a lot.
I don't think I'm not and all of them yet. Right. Yeah,
that's got to be the worst.
Oh man, sorry.
Worst.
Anyway, change the subject.
All right. So anyway, backseat barbecue May 31st. You got till get involved because the prizes are going to be great. We may even, depending on how many people we get, we may do more than one prize. Because our prize a couple of years ago was a George Foreman grill, which is hilarious. but maybe we'll make it something better this year.
Sure.
So,
case of barbecue sauce or something?
No, it's got to be good. It's got to be good. But it doesn't take much. It's not like they have to do any work at home. It's a guest email. Done.
Hot sauce.
All right. We had realized something, Mike. that Kenny was, he was working for a while, right? Working the job, traveling around the country, getting up early in the morning, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Horseshit stuff.
But Kenny used to be the guy that was up till 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, you know, and you wouldn't hear from him, you know, until after 3 in the afternoon. And
the way it should be.
The way he was. It's been how long now since you've been, you know, out of the loop of
February.
The other work? February.
Yeah.
And how long did it take for you to jump right back into your
about
old
About 2 days.
Really?
About Dude, 2 days. Yeah.
You know how I knew there was something wrong?
I would say 3 to 4 days. The first couple of them, still on the same
sleep pattern.
Sleep pattern. And then once I napped in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was over.
It was over. Yeah.
But he called me one day, because you know my job, I work early in the morning.
Right.
And I was in my vehicle, and Kenny calls me 20 after 7 in the morning. And I'm thinking, hey, just, it was only a couple of, like, maybe a couple days after his, you know, he wasn't working. And I pick it up because, you know, Kenny calls you. You got to pick it up because he never calls you. And I just want to make sure everything was all right. I'm like, Kenny, what's up, man? He's like, nothing, bro. I'm like, everything all right? He goes, yeah. Just want to call and say what's up. I'm out. I'm getting a haircut and I'm doing stuff. I'm like, you called me to let you know that you're out and you're doing things at 7:30
well,
in the morning?
I knew you were up.
Yeah, he had to let me know that he was up doing things. He actually, would you say, you go, I think he said, I'm going to get a haircut. Thanks for calling me. To tell me that you're getting a haircut.
When you did the job, what time were you up?
I had to be, usually we met at the off. Well, when I was traveling, I was 8, 9 in the morning, had to be at the store. So I was up 7:30, 8 o'clock, had to go.
But
to
you did, when you did that, did you call him?
What do you mean?
When you were doing your job, did you call him to say you were doing your job?
Never.
So what would make you need to call him to let him know, look at me, I'm out and about.
It's kind of happening. I guess it's happening. Hey, getting a haircut, doing stuff. Yeah. Well, you know?
But you were doing stuff for how many years did you do that job?
It was four years, something like that.
So you've been doing stuff
on the road for three.
Three years you've been doing it. You didn't call every day to let him know you were doing stuff.
Nah.
So then the first 3 days off, you're like, hey, you know what? I'm doing stuff, bro.
I felt good because I was like relieved. You know what I mean? Because I was home. The job was, it wasn't a bad job. It was just too much. From my birthday in Labor Day weekend till Christmas, I was home for about 3-4 days. That was it, you know? And hadn't seen anybody. I lost doing stand-up. I lost, you know, pals and everything.
We're not going to talk about that, right? Try to blame this fucking job.
No. It was on his way to the But it just got too much, so I left. But I was talking to my mom, and she got diagnosed. Actually, diagnosed because it runs in my entire family. Half of us are up until 3 o'clock in the morning. And don't like to wake up until about 11 or noon. That's just natural. That if I go to bed before midnight, 1 o'clock, it's a nap. I wake up. Just can't do it. It's like taking a nap. So my great-grandmother used to sit up in the kitchen smoking Chesterfields and drinking coffee until 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and my mother would be up with her. My mother's exactly like that. My sister Allison is exactly like that. So she got diagnosed. It's called delayed sleep phase disorder. Delayed sleep phase disorder. Now they have this
They really are just stretching it for disorders, huh?
Now
can't fall asleep early disorder.
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
Here it is. There's like that third shift, you know what I mean? You work the night shifts and whatnot. It screws your whole body clock.
Absolutely.
But real quick, delayed sleep phase disorder is also known as delayed sleep phase syndrome. delayed sleep phase type is a circadian rhythm sleep disorder affecting the timing of sleep, peak period of alertness, the core body temperature rhythm, hormonal and other daily rhythms compared to the general population and relative to societal requirements. People with DSPD generally fall asleep some hours after midnight and have difficulty waking up in the morning. Affected people often report that while they do not get to sleep until the early morning, they do fall asleep around the same time every day, which is right. I 3-4, I'm pretty much good, somewhere around there.
And what time you get up?
11, somewhere around 11, something like that. You know,
let same thing. I don't have any disorder though. Well, like they say, you have a problem getting up in the morning. I don't. I'm not trying to get up.
Yeah.
If I was trying to get up at 5 a.m, yeah, I would have a problem. I just fell asleep.
Even when I was working, I would work from 8 o'clock in the morning to like 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I still couldn't go. I couldn't just come home and take a shower and pass
nobody,
out.
Nobody. I don't think. I don't.
I'm still.
Well, what time were you falling asleep when you were working?
3, 4.
Still,
yeah.
The whole time?
The whole time. Absolutely the whole time.
So you were getting 3, 4 hours of sleep
for
the past 3 years.
Like, if I wasn't traveling, we'd meet at the office at like 10. And then we'd have to work till like 7 or 8 o'clock.
So you can get like 6.
Yeah. I always got the amount. It wasn't like I was sleep deprived. I always got the right amount.
Did you end up like, when you got home, like banging out a 2 hour nap or 3 hour nap or something like that?
I would take little interval naps. Like when it was slow, the hotel was really close, I'd go back and take a nap for like 20 minutes, like right. A quick power nap or something. And that would spur me on the rest of the day. But never, balls ass tired, feet, hips, knees from standing all day hurting me. I'd take a shower. And once I got into the hotel room and I relaxed, I woke right the hell up. You know what I mean? Right the hell up. So this is just solidifying that I'm completely full of shit. But now I have something to go to.
Yeah, right.
I have a diagnosed, you know what I mean?
And have you been diagnosed with that?
No, my mother. But affected people can't fall asleep around the same time of the day. Hold on. Disorder such as sleep. Unless they have another sleep disorder such as sleep apnea, which I'm borderline, yeah. In addition to DSPD, patients can sleep well and have a normal need for sleep. However, they find it very difficult to wake up in time for a typical school or work day. If, however, they are allowed to follow their own schedules, sleeping from 3 a.m. to noon, they sleep soundly, awaken spontaneously, and do not experience excessive daytime sleepiness. Yep. The syndrome usually develops in early childhood or adolescence. I've been doing it since
me too.
Born. An adolescent version disappears in adolescence or early childhood. Otherwise, DSPD is a lifelong condition. Depending on the severity, the symptoms can be managed to a greater or lesser degree, but there is no all-encompassing cure. Prevalence among among adults, equally distributed among women and men, is approximately 0.15 or 3 in 2,000 people. DSPD is also genetically linked to ADHD by findings of polymorphism in genes in common between those apparently involved in ADHD and those involved in the circadian rhythm. And
circadian, what is this? Are we talking about some planet?
Circadian.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Sleep long and prosper. Yeah.
Circadian.
The disorder used to be called the Pluto disorder, but it's not it's not a planet.
I think the circadian rhythm is like your get up, sleep, go to bed, sleep, get up, that kind of a thing.
But I've been, since I'm a teenager, I've not gone to sleep before 1 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there would be every, maybe 3 months, I'll pass out at 11 because I'm really tired and sleep until 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. I get like a long, sleep. Yeah. But for the most part, I'm a 4 to 5 o'clock in the morning full sleep guy. But then I got to get up at 6:20. I got to wake up at 6:20 every day to get my kids up.
Right.
So I'm like, I wake up, and this is me getting the my alarm goes over, and I'm like, Mike! Mike! Yeah, Dad. Get up. All right. I'm telling you, I'm going back to sleep. Get up. All right. And I'm out. And I'm out, and I got to get, and I toss and turn, and I got to pee a little bit for another half hour.
Yeah.
But then I get up between 11:30 and 12:30 every day.
Yeah. That's my, I've been doing that since I was a baby. I remember I used to pretend that I fell off the bed. So my mother would bring me downstairs and I could watch TV. You know?
Really?
Yeah. And she would just put me on a couch.
So you've had this disorder. I mean, I've had it since my teenage years. So
since I was
absolutely.
A baby. Yeah.
I don't think it's a disorder. It's just who I am. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's a disorder. Honest, I mean, I don't ever remember really being, but like when I worked, if you work construction or you're working landscaping or some shit like that, by 10 o'clock at night, you're friggin' done. I don't give a shit about this disorder.
Yeah, you got to get your sleep.
I got to get the sleep.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not 19 anymore, you know what I mean?
But I've had, like, you ever been, like, you go on a run, like, you know, being up, maybe going to the casino or doing, like, a long you know, and you're up for 20-something hours, I'll pass out, but then I'll get, if I get up like around 2 o'clock, I'll wake up at 2. I'll be exhausted by 9, pass out, but 2 o'clock, I'm fucking up.
It's a nap. It's
and
a
I'm
nap.
Screwed.
Yeah, it's a complete nap for me. Yeah.
Hang on, we got a phone call. Conti and Kenny Show.
Hey, it's Lady Trucker.
Hi, Lady Trucker. How are you?
Good. I just wanted a quick opportunity to talk to Mike before he becomes a fancy, fancy man.
Yeah, I know. I know. You better hurry up. Go ahead.
You're in. You want to tell you
get a daughter voice.
Get it in
I
now.
I got more followers than you guys could find.
Yeah, get this conversation in now because I got to hire a secretary and whatever, an assistant to take this shit from now on. So just get this out of the way.
Right now he's on the bottom rung of the ladder called Bar Back, and he's just walking up very quickly.
I just wanted to say I'd normally stay up till 2 o'clock, and then I'll wake up at 8 in the morning.
Are you on the road, like, when you, do you, are you, like, on the road all the time, or do you go home at night?
Well, I go out 2 weeks at a time.
Where do you go from? Where do you haul from? My brother's,
I just moved from Texas up to Minnesota, and now I just haul over the United States.
My brother was hauling furniture from North Carolina to California, and then fruit from California back to North Carolina. That was his run. That was his run. Wow. 9 days, or whatever that is.
Yeah, what was the fruit's name?
Hey-o.
Eric and John.
Kenny.
Hey-o.
Kenny. It was Kenny Michaels.
Yeah, Kenny Loveseat Michaels.
He had to stop at all the rest areas when he was eastbound?
He didn't have to, but he did.
When he was eastbound.
Well, you know, they blow jobs there.
For some reason, he always had to pull over.
Be a lot.
Yeah.
a little kick of the foot underneath the stall, and it was done. That's why I would make most of my money not hauling stuff. It was in the bathrooms.
All your money. You didn't haul anything.
$40 a pop.
He had no trailer on the back. He just drove a truck.
It wasn't even working.
He was like he wore a shirt that said trucker. That was it.
Hauling that container of dicks to the fucking next
I had driving his Honda.
The hat with the foam in front and the mesh in the back.
Yeah. The really, really high hat.
Yeah, really
high. You can never get it like down on your head. It's way up there.
And he ought to have had an I'm with stupid shirt on. Yeah.
And it was the arrows pointing at him.
Pointing it up. Oh, man. So it seems like a lot of people have this, almost seems like a lot of people who just need to sleep till stay up till very late. They're like not nocturnal, but you know what I'm saying?
I've always
just used to right off the bat. And even Lady Trucker said she's got to go to sleep at like 3 in the morning and get up at like 8.
There's just something when I have a regular, say I get a regular night's sleep and I wake up at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. By noon, I'm worn out. I'm done. You know what I mean? If I eat lunch, I can't eat lunch because I want to take and go to sleep. By 9, 10 o'clock at night,
It's like you were never tired.
Exactly.
I hear you.
And it's when I feel best. That's when I feel most alert. You know, that's when I get everything done.
Oh, that's when I do all my thinking.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How much writing do I get done when I'm trying to fall asleep? 2:30 in the morning, I'm like, oh, let me just get the notebook. Fuck. I wanted to get to sleep. Like I'll be exhausted. Like I've been yawning since I got here. Right. And I'm like, oh, when I get home, I'm going to fucking pass out. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm going to get home, I'm going to put some television on, and I'm going to be awake until 4 o'clock in the morning.
But let me ask you guys something, and this correlates with Lady Trucker. Yeah, you're up because you're up and you're in your house and you're watching TV. What if you're driving?
I get tired. Lady Trucker, do you get tired when you're on the road, and then when you pull over, you can't fall asleep?
No. I mean, Doc, the biggest trick is just following your circadian rhythm, and we're allowed to say when we're available after we make a delivery. So I just, I start driving at 10 o'clock in the morning and then drive till whenever, but I usually, unless I get a new video game, then I have to set an alarm clock to go to bed. So I'll make sure I just go to bed at the same time every day.
Okay.
And if I'm not sleepy, if I'm, for some reason I'm not sleepy, then I'll just read until I fall asleep.
How come everybody's throwing a circadian rhythm around? Like, I should know that shit already.
I know. It's like the polar vortex.
The very first time I've ever heard it, and now everybody's like, yeah, it's the circadian rhythm.
I thought it was a club band. I thought it was,
I thought it was,
Battlestar Galactica. Jungle Brothers. I thought it was.
Got a Latin rhythm, right?
There's no possible way that I could say, tonight I'm going to bed 11 o'clock. I can't even say, tonight I'm going to go to bed at 1:30. I can't say it. It's just when it happens.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's you hit kind of a wall, and you're like, all right, I'm ready to go. You know, yeah, and you're ready. I can't say. And the worst is when you have to get up in the morning.
Yeah,
and
then you're done.
You're done. Yeah.
No, it's like trying to get a hard on. You can't try to get a hard on.
Yeah, when
you're either gonna get a hard on, or you're not. Yeah, like you can't
try to sleep.
Come on.
Yeah,
it's not happening.
It's like going putting your head on the pillow and you squeeze your eyes as close as you can. You're not sleeping.
Oh, forget it. Then your legs start moving. Then all of a sudden you got restless leg syndrome with this other fucking syndrome.
Circadian rhythm.
Yeah, the circadian rhythm happens.
The restless leg keeps your circadian rhythm.
Circadian rhythm. It's like a Gloria Estefan.
it's what do they call that?
I don't know.
The thing?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Windshield wiper?
No.
We're on the radio, the so clock. You can't do that.
The TikTok, the clock, the thing. It's like really, there's something.
Yeah, forget it, man. Don't even cool.
You made a windshield wiper thing with your fingers. So.
No, the thing that goes back and forth. It keeps the rhythm.
Yeah, stop.
Metronome.
There it is. Thank you.
She didn't even see you. And she fucking nailed it. She's like, what is this retard doing? He said windshield wipers. It must be going back and forth. Let me figure this out for him. The moron.
Yeah. What is that thing? That thing that goes like this.
She took everything we said and came up with the answer. We're looking at you. We had no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Talking about
we just described it and she nailed it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, she's smart.
Unbelievable.
And you drive shit.
Well, it's been fun chit-chat, gentlemen. I'll talk to you later sometime.
Thanks for calling in, Lady Trucker.
Hal's in the chat room. Metronome. Same thing.
I've been to their clinics.
I get it. That's all you're getting.
Yeah.
You gotta,
I got it.
Believe me, I didn't go in there thinking I was curtsying after that. I knew I wasn't taking a bow, that's for sure.
Isn't it the worst when something like, I got it. Yeah.
Yep.
No, I know where you're going. I got it.
No. That's good.
Yeah, Gav's just Gav's delivery on that is perfect.
No, that's good.
That's how he does it all the time, though. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I got it.
No. It's a good thing because once you start like getting a conversation, like when you get my social cues, like when I'm done with the topic. Like, you already know. Like, yep, all right. And you're like, all right, wants to move on.
Yeah. You police your own thing. You're like, yep, I'm done. Yeah. I've had enough of it. Got it. Yep, we're good. Yeah, so I've got that going for me, which is nice.
Delayed phase sleep disorder.
Yes.
Do they call it, like, DPSD?
If you were listening to the show for the last half hour,
you were listening to the show you were a part of.
Yeah, I said that 9,000 times.
Oh, you did. Uh-huh. See, I was doing other stuff. It was so. It
what
was,
other stuff?
It was such a who gives you a shit have, subject.
You have I, one job. Listen to that dumbass.
No, you were here. You were here to converse with him. So I was talking to people in the chat room.
Fucking jerk off.
I was here to do that part.
I appreciate being here for me.
God damn, man. So this is really exciting for Mike and for us because we get to kind of see the other side of comedy that we've never got to see, like the television part of comedy, and we get that bird's eye view from you. And I think it's exciting, and I think out of all of my friends, Mike is one of the three that I would be happy for that it happened.
Yeah.
All the others, yeah. I'd be like, fuck you. I will say, though, it made me do three things. You getting all
question
this.
Your career.
No. I didn't need your success for that.
Really.
But my first reaction was, fucking A, man. It's awesome. My second reaction was, shit. And then my third reaction was, I got to do this. You know what I mean?
That's good. That's so the reaction I care about.
It's three things. One, happy for you. Two, fuck. Not that I was not that I didn't want you, but I'm like, oh man, you know, like
yep.
Maybe I could get there one day. And then three, I got to do it.
Exactly.
You know? So it motivates.
That's what I'm more concerned about. Because, me and Fernandez were talking. Me and my friend Kirk Smith were talking. And somebody was talking to somebody. I think it's normal. Human nature. To go, I wish that was me.
Yeah, of course.
That's normal. Okay, yeah. Because you're not saying, I don't want it to happen to you. Fuck you. That's not envy.
No.
It might be envy. I think there's a difference between envy and jealousy.
Absolutely. Jealousy is, really? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Jealousy, you got it, you dick?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
envious is like, fuck, I wish I could have that too.
Yes. Yes. Now, I probably have
I wouldn't call it envious. No? I wouldn't call it, no. Envious is, I want what he has, kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
To me, envious is less baby than jealousy.
That thought of is, I wish it was me, is self. It's a self thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Because you're not going, fuck, that fucking guy got
That's
it.
What I think jealousy
him.
Is,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
but,
jealousy.
But you going, man, I wish I could have that. You know,
I think that's.
I'm happy.
I think it's a little envy, though. Yes. I think it's a little envy.
Well, but but it's not. It's not a negative energy.
I wouldn't go deadly sin envy.
No,
right.
I would go.
No, normal level envy.
Yeah,
purgatory.
I wouldn't go biblical envy.
It's like purgatory. You're getting in. Just gotta wait a minute.
Right.
But I think that's normal. I hear something. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, I want everyone to just do your. As long as you're doing you, man, just be. Just be happy doing you. I don't give a fuck what happens in your career. I feel that I always felt this since I started this, that my talent or whatever, my work ethic and my person will get me where I got to go. Not you failing, not you sucking. My energy is going to get me where I need to go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And people out there, don't think that Gaff is just getting this new success because, let's just give it to him. You guys got to understand, I'm talking to them out there, that, you know, you're in a city until 5 o'clock in the morning.
I'm
doing 10 shows a night. This is going on for years now.
Yeah.
You know, from early evening until late at night. So anything that comes to you, dude, you deserve it.
The more you put yourself out there, the better chance you have of catching a break. And you caught a break.
Right.
But you didn't catch a break without talent.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
And I didn't catch it like
no overnight.
It didn't just fall into my lap. Yeah. I've been grinding. And another thing, Steve Jobs said, you can never connect the dots going forward. Remember that speech? You can always look back and connect the dots of your life. You can't connect going forward. You have no idea where you're going to be tomorrow. But you can look back and see what got you to where you are. And I can tell you this. How I got to where I'm at on that show is, I got getting into Foxwoods and opening up for Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, exactly.
When I opened up for him, he liked me. And then he said, you can open up for me wherever I am. I wanted to open up for him at Stress Factory. Why? Because I just want to get into a local club and get some gigs a year. Yeah. That's it. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it's all I wanted. I wanted to get into a club so the guy will book me twice a year. That's all the intent was. He got me opening for him in Stress Factory. Vinnie Brand liked me. Told Tom Ingenio, who books the features at Stress Factory, need to give this guy an email. He was really good. 2 weeks later, Tom emailed me. I'm going to put you on a couple of fundraisers, see how you do. He got good reports. Started to work me a lot. Then took me on as a manager and got me the audition for Last Comic Standing.
Last Comic Standing.
Now, that all came from me just wanting
one show.
One gig.
Yes.
So all I wanted was a gig. So I wasn't like... It wasn't like, I'm going to go that way so I can be a success.
No.
I just wanted a gig.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I was saying is that you caught a break.
Right now, yeah.
Because of timing,
putting
luck,
yourself out there.
And the hard work.
Right.
Because the hard work, you know what? The hard work actually didn't get you the break. The hard work got you everything after the break.
Right.
Because if you weren't prepared for it,
no,
you would have fell flat in your face.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know... You've been doing this 2 years and you got 10 minutes of material. Yeah, he liked you. What are you gonna do?
Right. What are you gonna do with it?
You're not gonna be able to do anything with it.
Right, right.
But all those years of work, you were prepared.
Right.
You caught a break, but you had you got a chance to put your car in the race,
right.
But you had the motor that was gonna ready to fucking really, throw the horsepower.
Oh, I think I had what it I was ready for it, but I also believe that I wasn't looking I don't have ulterior motives to get. I just want to work. I want to be the best I can be at this job, and I don't need the grandiose picture. I just need so my little like humble approach to like, hey, can I just want to open for you so I can get into that club, is what paid off.
It takes
2 years later, but you don't see that going in. I'm like, I just wanted Vinnie Brand to book me.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all I wanted. I was like, I just wanted to work, man. I was hoping I could shoot him a couple of emails here and there and get a gig.
That's it, man. That's how it happens, man.
That's
and,
fucking great,
real quick
man.
In the chat, 4 years is you got in the door. Now work it. That's for you. And then
thanks.
Lady Trucker said, time for Joe to step it up. And then 4 years is hell yeah. So
there you go.
You got your work cut out.
Well, that's good, though, that you like now are motivated. Like, you know what?
Yeah, and I'm doing an audition Wednesday night at Levity Live in Nyack to do the Access
Gotham Live.
Gotham Live Access show, which Gaffney did.
Which I did.
No,
I got an audition, yeah. I got to do a 9-minute set. So if anybody's in the area, you can go to Levity Live Wednesday night.
That's fucking
you can
great,
buy
man.
Your fucking tickets. They're $15, but if you put the coupon code Conti, you get him for free. So
nice.
Wednesday night. 8 o'clock show.
You're mentioning that with 2 minutes
yeah,
left.
I didn't even realize. I forgot.
No.
It was all about him today,
oh,
man.
Oh, no, of course.
It was all about Mikey. So, but if anybody wants any info, just fucking tweet me or send me a message on Facebook, all right? We got to get out. You want to get out? Let's get out of here, man.
Sure.
Mike, once again, thanks, bro.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Just plug out your Twitter and all that shit.
Mike Gaffney Now is my Twitter. Mike Gaffney Now is Instagram. And Mike Gaffney Live is my website.
Halls in the chat. Great show tonight, guys. Good luck, Mike, although you already know what happened.
But you don't know, so thank you.
Exactly.
All right, everybody. Thanks, everybody in the chat. Thanks for Lady Trucker who called in. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, okay? Conti and Kenny on Facebook. Our Twitter accounts, at CNK Show. Kenny's is at KennyMichaels5. Mine's is at Joe Conti Comic. And our producer, Brent, is White Ass Brent. And, I think that's it. I don't have my shit tonight, so I left it in the car.
Everybody,
so.
we're
good,
like
man. We love everybody, man. Thank you so much. And
thanks,
next
guys.
Is Daytime Divas. Stick around on More Like Radio, and we are out.
See you later.
See you next week.